This morning is from Psalm 1. Psalm 1, and Stuart is reading scripture for us this morning.
Good morning. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Jean, as in Jean Kirkwood, our interim moderator, has set a short season beginning here now in June and running through till early part of August, when we're going to be reflecting on that part of the scriptures which is referred to as the wisdom literature. The wisdom literature. Now, the Bible is made up of all kinds of literature. We have, of course, the law, which is considered the first five books of the Old Testament. And then we have the history, which is the story of God's people through all the years with the kings and so on. We have the prophets, both major and minor. We move into the New Testament. We have the Gospels. We have Acts of the Apostles. Then we have the letters that Paul and others wrote. And finishing up with Revelation, the great picture of John of what is to come. But in the midst of it all, pretty much if you took your Bibles and opened them halfway, you would get to what we call the wisdom literature. And it comprises the Psalms, Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. Taken together, these are unique from the other parts of Scripture, and we say that in there is wisdom for God's people. That's what we'll be reflecting on over the coming weeks. Some Psalms, some Proverbs, some Ecclesiastes, and some Song of Songs. Today we start in the Psalms and Psalm number 1, which begins with that wonderful line, "Blessed is the one." Blessed is the one. Friends, I don't know about you, but I grew up with the Good News Bible. Actually, there was one before that, which I can't even tell you which version it was. It was my wee Gideon's New Testament that I got in first year at secondary school. Did anybody else get a Gideon's Bible when you were at school? Hands up, you may remember. I still picture the scene. All of us first years were gathered into the assembly hall at Wood Farm High School in the south side of Glasgow, and two men from the Gideon Society spoke to us about the Bible, about God's Word, and they said, "We're going to give you one for free." And that immediately got my attention. And then they said, "All we ask is that you read a part of it every day." Now, age 12, I was a conscientious little kid. And so when I got hold of my little red Gideon's New Testament, I started reading it every day. And basically never stopped. But as I began to grow in faith as a teenager and so on, and ultimately to profess my faith in front of the church aged 18, then a certain young lady, Elaine Fair, sat yonder. She gave me a gift that day, and it was a whole Bible and it was the Good News Bible. I still have it, but could hardly take it out of the house now because it is so falling to bits. Not through careless misuse, but because I just read it to bits. Pages are loose here and there. I think I've lost a part of the prophet Isaiah somewhere along the line. But it's there, and I treasure it still. It was really through the Good News Bible that my faith began to flourish, and reading it consistently and faithfully. But the Good News Bible, in its attempts to render the language in a way that everybody can understand, or in everyday language, sometimes ends up giving the wrong impression. So if you look up the Good News Bible for the psalm that we are reading today, rather than blessed is the one, it starts off with this way, happy is the one. Or if you were to go to the Beatitudes that Jesus shares in the Sermon on the Mount, you get this, happy are those who know that they are poor. Happy are those who mourn, God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble, they will receive what God has promised, and on it goes. There is a marked difference between happiness and blessedness. To be happy is entirely dependent on the circumstances in which you are in at any given moment. So if all is well in your world, if the roses are blooming in your life, and if the sun is shining, you might well be happy. And thank goodness for happiness. Who wouldn't want to be happy? But then life breaks in. And anybody who's lived more than a few years on this earth will know well that everything in the garden isn't always in order as we would want it to be. We live in a fallen and broken world. And any one of you could now turn to your neighbour and recall seasons of your life, and maybe you're in one right now, when the circumstances are prevailing in such a way that you feel anything but happy. So, you see, when the Good News Bible says, happy are those, I want us to know it's not that happiness. It's not the happiness that puts a smile on our face in certain days and others less so. The word is blessed. Blessed is the one. And that speaks of something much deeper. I want to testify here today that I have known seasons when the circumstances have not led to happiness. And yet, I have known myself blessed nonetheless. Blessedness is that deep down place in our spirits when somehow we are able to tell ourselves, despite what's going on in our lives, in our circumstances, despite our immediate situation, despite the mess of the world and so on, still I know that God has me in his grasp, that God's embrace holds me tightly, and that his love for me will never be diminished. Friends, to know that in the thick of it is what it is to be blessed. May you be blessed. I hope you are happy. I really do. I hope there are many, many wonderful, happy summer days lying ahead. But beyond happiness, be blessed. Because blessedness will hold you through all the days of your lives. Blessedness remains when life has done its best to throw you off. But here's one way in which the Good News Bible gets that first verse of Psalm 1 right. It says this: happy are those who reject the advice of wicked people. Now that is different from what we heard in the NIV read this morning, which is what I would treat now as my go-to version of the Bible. It says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Now it's right, but it misses out the bit about counsel or advice which should be in there. I just want to unpack this a little. We are what are known as Reformed Christians. In the big scheme of things, the Christian church has lots of different parts. In the main, there is the Roman Catholic Church, there is the Orthodox Church, and there is the Reformed Church. And we are part of the Reformed Church. In other words, we trace our roots to the Reformation of the 16th century. It was in 1507, in the German city of Wittenberg, that Martin Luther, a devout Catholic monk, went to the door of the cathedral and nailed onto that door a piece of paper with 95 complaints that he had about how the Catholic Church was running at that time, the corruptness that he saw in it, the error that was strewn throughout it. Well, he got himself into a whole heap of trouble for doing that. But in so doing, he started, inadvertently, a new movement. Those who were protesting about all that was wrong about the church. And those protesters became known as Protestants. Martin Luther was not alone. Alongside him and others was John Calvin. John Calvin. And if you were to ask, well, where do we Presbyterians find our particular root? Then it's with John Calvin and his teaching in Geneva and so on. If you have ever opportunity to go to Geneva, you can go in and stand in Calvin's church, literally, where he preached. And out of that, there was a young man named John Knox. And John Knox came back from the continent, having heard these new ideas, this protestation, and he came to our shores. And out of John Knox's work in preaching, the Protestant Church in Scotland was born. In 1560, the Church of Scotland was reformed. That's your free history lesson for today. Now, park it off to the side. The amazing thing is that we still have John Calvin's commentaries and reflections on the Bible. And I treasure this volume. It's John Calvin's commentaries on the Psalms. And I want to read for you this morning just a little chunk or two of what Calvin says about Psalm 1 that really helps us, I think, to understand what the psalmist is saying. So just switch on for a moment or two, listen up to this from Calvin. 500 plus years ago, he wrote this. Blessed is the one, that's the verse. The sum of the whole psalm is that the servants of God must endeavor utterly to abhor the life of the ungodly. But as it is the policy of Satan to insinuate his deceits in a very crafty way, the prophet, that is the psalmist, in order that none may be unwittingly deceived, shows how, by little and little, men and women are ordinarily seduced into turning aside from the right path. Oh, they do not, at the first step, advance so far as a proud contempt of God, but, having once begun to listen to evil counsel or advice from the wicked, Satan leads them step by step further astray until they rush headlong into open transgression. So the psalmist begins with counsel or advice. Then he speaks of the way, which is to be understood the customary manner in which we all live. Then he places at the top the seat, by which metaphor he refers to the obstinacy produced by the habit of the sinful life. Thus ought the three phrases, to walk, to stand, and to sit, be understood. And that's, friends, what the psalmist says, that we are not to walk in the way of the wicked, or to stand amongst the ungodly. Friends, we are called to live in the world, but to be different. Says elsewhere in Scripture, be holy as I am holy. God's words. Holy means different. I was watching a marching band on YouTube yesterday, and the band was perfect in its marching rhythm. Everyone in step. And then right at the end, in the last rank, there was someone who just couldn't get it. They were couldn't get in step with everyone else. I say it's the job of the Christian not to be in step with everyone else. We are called to march to a different drumbeat. And it's the drumbeat, the way of living, that is revealed in Scripture. And that's what the psalmist says to us. Don't listen. Don't be misguided. Don't be caught up in the ways of the world. But you are to meditate on Scripture day and night. You are to love the law of the Lord, because in there is the way in which you are to live. It's hard sometimes to stand apart. It's hard to live differently when, here's the phrase you hear often enough, well, everyone else is doing it. Many years ago, Elaine and I had an interrail holiday in Europe. We bought a train ticket which allowed us to travel for a whole month. We were in 10 countries across Europe, camping in a tiny two-man tent. You remember? You pretty well work out in a two-man tent for a month if you get on with each other. But this I remember. We arrived in Rome and we're getting from the train station to our campsite, and we climbed on this bus along with everyone else. And I was looking for where you paid. Where do you pay your fare to get on the bus? And this person said, oh, no one pays here. We just ride for free. No one pays. Well, they should have, but they just chose not to. So there you are. No one else is paying. You might as well, why should we bother? Now, a kind of trivial example, but friends, that's the way it is in the world. In a secularized country like Scotland, which has almost exclusively forgotten its Christian roots, it is so very easy to be sucked up into another way and to forget that we are called to something different. And friends, this is the message of this first psalm. We're called to be different. You will know that both the Scottish Parliament and the Westminster Parliament has in recent times debated the subject of assisted dying. Now even the terminology is interesting, but both those parliaments have voted that in time, when it has worked through all of the parliamentary process, that we will be a nation where the state sanctions and supports assisted dying. The General Assembly of the Church of Scotland debated the subject in May at its assembly. And of course, there were arguments passionately held. There were experiences shared, stories told, that would support both sides of that argument, whether to permit it or otherwise. But at the end of the day, the General Assembly voted to maintain the traditional position. It said this, that we acknowledge how difficult a subject this is and that there are passionate beliefs on either side. Nonetheless, we do not support the practice of assisted dying. Now, here has been one occasion when the drift of our wider society has gone a certain way, and the church has said, we are not going with it. We're standing on different ground, believing absolutely in the sanctity of life, and throughout all the pains that sometimes lead to these discussions, we believe that proper care, pastoral and end-of-life care, is what's called for in a society, rather than hastening or bringing on the ending of life. It's just one example. But if we are to be guided by Scripture and not just doing this, what does everybody else think? Then at times that will call us to live differently. You know, in the very early days, before anyone had come up with the name Christian to describe the followers of Jesus, what were his followers called? They were called people of the way. People of that way of life. You find a phrase in the book of Acts that Jesus' followers are the people of the way, and still that is what is required of us today, that we be people of the way of Jesus and living our lives according to what we are taught in Scripture and what we saw manifested in the life of Jesus while here on earth. So friends, blessed is the one who does not fall in step with the wicked, who does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit among the mockers of God, and believe me, they are there in their many. Blessed is the one who does not fall into that way, but who stands firm in God's ways. Now you see, here's the thing that the psalmist sort of finishes up with. How do we know God's ways? The psalmist says that we must meditate day and night on the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord meaning all of God's words for us. Day and night. You can do that in all sorts of ways. Maybe like me, you have an old, beat up, physical Bible that you've used so many times the pages are all awry. My practice these days is actually listening. And so as I walk the dog and so on, I've got my AirPods in, and I listen to Scripture. I find that most helpful. But however it is you do it, and whenever, whether you're a morning person and you start your day with a portion of Scripture, or at midday, or as you go to bed at night, take up the advice of Psalm 1. Meditate on the law of the Lord. soak yourself in the law of the Lord. Drink in the words of Scripture, that little by little they may direct the paths you walk in life all the more, so that you are less swayed by what you see around you and more directed by what is within you, the words and the ways of the Lord. And the final part is this. The psalmist says, in effect, it may look like, when you survey the scene of the world, that the wicked, to use his phrases, the ungodly, to use his terminology, that everything goes well for them. That there is, as it were, great success. And that their lives are untroubled, and that they prosper in everything they do. And you'll find this in various of the Psalms. The Psalm writer sort of rails out and says, look, I'm trying to do my best following you, Lord. Look at these other people, those wicked folks, look how they prosper. Psalm 1 makes it very, very clear. It may look like that, but in the end, they shall be blown away as chaff. They shall not stand amongst God's people on the day of judgment. It might not always look like it in this life, but those who reject the Lord, there are consequences. Meanwhile, the psalmist says that those who follow in his footsteps, that those who love the Lord and walk in his way, that he will protect them and that they will have a place among the righteous for all of eternity. There was a quiz show on television, I think back in the 1970s or thereabouts, and the quizmaster always finished with this little line before people decided. He said, it's make your mind up time, folks. I don't remember, was it Opportunity Knocks or some sort of TV quiz? And he always said, it's make your mind up, folks. How you live your life. It's make your mind up, folks. Is it to stand firmly in the way? Or is it to wander off in every other which way? It's make your mind up, folks. But who would not be blessed? Who would not want that, to be the blessed one before the Lord our God? Amen. And may he bless to us even now the words of Scripture upon which we have reflected. Amen.